Blog Talk Radio.
5 years I was stranded on an island with only one goal. Survive.
Oliver Queen is alive.
Now I will fulfill my father's dying wish to use the list of names he left me and bring down those who are poisoning my city. To do this, I must become someone else. I must become something else.
People, and welcome to another exciting episode of Arrow Talk. If this is your host, His Future Radio, we will be talking about tonight's episode titled Betrayal. Definitely fits the episode that aired on February the 6th, I want to say. Yep, that was Wednesday the 6th, 2013. Thank you again for downloading our podcast on iTunes and also on blogtalkradio.com. Let's go to our callers right away. I'm sure you guys are now familiar with our repeated callers. Let's see, from area code 239, who is this?
Matt from Florida. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What a great ending last night.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Welcome back, Matt, to the podcast.
Thank you.
Awesome. Let's see, we have another caller from area code 951. Who is this?
Regina.
Hi, Regina. How's it going?
Oh, fine.
All right. Well, welcome back to the podcast. Again, we will be talking about betrayal. So let's go to you, Matt. Your first thoughts. What did you think of last night's episode titled Betrayal?
Epic, and I love the way how it started. Just the ending, I mean, that was my favorite scene, where as Green Arrow, he confronted his mom, and then how Green Arrow and Detective Lance work together to save Laurel.
Uh-huh.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, definitely a lot of twists and turns also. Regina, let's get your first thoughts. What did you think of last night's episode, Betrayal?
I liked it, but I thought there was going to be more of a cliffhanger. I mean,
More than what they had? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You wanted more?
Yes.
Okay, Matt, the cat's out of the bag. Let us know how Betrayal ended.
Well, there's Diggle and Oliver talking in the Arrow cave, and then
yes.
He keeps repeating this message, like, he wants to know what's going on with the undertaking, and he goes,
yes.
I got to talk to my mom from an inside job. And then I just love that scene. Jumps into her office at Queen Industries and then takes down, like, both of her employees and says, aims the arrow at her. I was,
yes.
like, screaming at the TV. And then
did he say?
Murray Queen, you have failed this city.
Oh, that is so awesome. I love it.
Yep.
Regina, you wanted something more than that?
Well, you know, we know he's not going to shoot his mom.
I know, but to have him, like, say, Myra Queen, you have failed this city.
I mean, come on, that's his own mom.
He
usually does it to people, though, that he, you know, shoots or whatever, you know. I mean, that's his mother. Come on.
Here's my question to you guys. I know we're jumping way ahead of everything else. I don't think all the other 55 minutes of Arrow, I don't think all that mattered until the end. So if you're listening, I'm so sorry that we're jumping all the way to the ending again. But it's a lot of fun. And that ending, at first, I have to be honest with you guys, at first I thought it was a dream or maybe just like some fantasy that he wanted to like just fulfill in his dream, but I'm sure it's real. I'm sure it took place.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm still a little skeptic, you know, because he does dream a lot, especially with the flashbacks and all that. What do you guys think? Do you guys think it was true? It was like present day that he was at Myra's office and he pointed his arrow at her and he said, "Myra Queen, you have failed the city." Regina, let's go to you. Do you think it was a dream or do you think it's real? It's in real time.
I think it was real.
All right. And you, Matt from Florida?
I think it was so real. It was real, because if you see the promo for next week, it's going to be so crazy in the beginning next week.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely an awesome cliffhanger, and it's like, I'm sure everybody else was like, oh my gosh, this is it, this is it. But then, of course, I have to agree with Regina.
He's almost acting like Batman in a way.
Yeah, I have to agree with Regina. He's not going to shoot her. There's no way he's going to shoot his own mom. Or will he? I don't know.
Or she will shoot him. Or she will shoot him.
That's true. That's true. Now, do you guys remember the different incarnation of Green Arrow in Smallville? Remember when Justin Hartley, well, not the actor, but you know Oliver Queen, remember when if he would get shot, he was able to regenerate himself,
mm-hmm.
like re-heal.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that episode.
Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I know in this series, they haven't touched on that yet, because obviously he scars. If you notice all his scars from the island, whenever he has his shirt off, he has, like, major scars all over the place. And I know they have that, you know, to show his suffering and his torture that he had on the island. But do you think he'll still have the same capability of self-healing, you know, with, remember he had those injections?
Yeah, but that was injections. That was stuff from Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But he used it towards his advantage.
Yeah, but he didn't really have the ability.
You're saying Lex Luthor
heal.
Manufactured the serum.
Yeah. It was manufactured, so he doesn't
yeah.
have the ability.
So do you think there might be, like, you know, I'm not saying right now, but maybe later on down the road, that's going to come up again. I know it might not be, wouldn't it be awesome if it did come from Lex Luthor, but maybe, you know, another division of Queen Industries might have accidentally come upon this great healing power. Do you think that might come up later on in the series?
I hope so, eventually.
Yeah, I
That'll
also
be
too because
to tie in with Smallville.
That'd be cool. Yeah, if it came from Lex Corp or something, that would be awesome. I don't know why they don't do that right now, but okay. But yeah, hopefully they'll come up later on with like a with the type of self-healing because at his rate. Oliver's going to be, like, beaten up within a year or two. And he probably won't be able to walk next year because he is going through a lot of stress on his body, either, you know, being tortured or being shot at, stabbed. His body is definitely going through a lot. So hopefully there's some form of fantasy later on that he has this, like, you know, regenerating serum. Okay, so now let's go to I think we pretty much have said our two our favorite scenes, Matt and myself. Regina, did you like that scene, or what was another favorite part of Betrayal that you liked?
Well, I mean, I liked the scene. I just thought he's not going to shoot her, you know. That's why I thought
right.
it's not that big of a cliffhanger, because he's not going to shoot his mother.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's
so
like
you would
be,
say
oh,
you would say that would
her?
That would be your favorite scene for the episode?
I think actually the beginning was kinda awesome.
And when you say the beginning,
it's like when the guy gives the other guy a hug and he's like, and I was like, what is he doing? He's up to something, and he ends up stabbing him. I was like, dang.
Yeah, with the knife? That was crazy. That was really crazy. And obviously, we see the bad, the dark side of this villain. Now, what did you guys think about the villain? He's played by, the villain is, let's see, his name is Nasty Criminal named Cyrus Vance. Not that, I mean, he was really, not really there. I mean, for me, it seemed like this villain just, like, sat around or just waited for Arrow to come by. Or there's a lot of talking, but not that much action. Well, what do you think, Matt, of this episode's villain, Cyrus?
Well, I didn't care about the bad guy, but the girl he was with, man, was she hot.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm sure that's what they wanted, and from your response, you know, they got what they wanted.
No, but the bad guy was good. Like, when they kidnapped Dinah, and then Oliver and Detective Lance were working together, and then, like, he should, like, be at a boat by now. Like, he barely did anything. Like, he hired his old man to try to take down the Hood.
Right. We go back to one of the first flashbacks in Betrayal, where Queen comes up with the remains of an airplane that is filled with various kinds of supplies. A man drops from the ceiling and puts a sword to his throat. And that's, at first I thought it was one of the henchmen, you know, of course, that was with Yao Fei and Deathstroke and all the other bad guys on the island. But for some reason, this is some sort of a rebel or renegade that is not with the clique, with the bad guys, and Queen tells him that he was sent there by Faye. So, and you know what? It's so cool that they said Yao Fei in this episode. That means I wasn't pronouncing his name wrong.
Yeah.
Remember, Regina, I was kind of worried. I'm like, I hope I'm not butchering his name. All right, so then Queen, of course, the big scene, I think would be my second favorite scene in tonight's episode, is Queen shows Mara his father's book, and saying he looked up the names and he has discovered that they're all bad people, and she grabs the book and just throws it in the fireplace, like, you know, she promised her family to stop asking questions. How does that solve anything, by throwing this book that she can't even, like, talk about, and then she tells you don't stop asking questions? Okay, now, if you were Queen, and let's say this would be your first exposure to the book, A, you already have a copy made, B, you run into the fire and grab it, or C, you sucker punch your mom right before she attempts to throw it in the fire, which one would you choose? Let's go to you, Matt.
I would say, you effing liar, backstabber, being mom, you're freaking lying to me. I mean, like backstabber in the face. I like shooting arrow behind the back.
Use
a boxing glove arrow on her.
All right. Remember, you're just talking about the little book, but you would do all that just for the little book?
Yeah, because she's a backstabbing liar.
All right.
Didn't want her to survive.
So Matt definitely went with Plan D, which I didn't name. So let's see, what about you, Regina?
That would be C, sucker puncher. Oh my
god!
Okay. I was like, are you kidding me? I was like,
yeah,
you did not just do that.
Yeah, that is so crazy. And so, of course, nothing comes out of that scene. They just look back at the fire, and the book is already engulfed in flames. And then we cut to Laurel introduces Thea to Anastasia. And I'm like, wow, what a funny name to have on the series, especially when people, like, either forget things or loss of memory. But let's see, the pro bono, who is a pro bono sabbatical from her high-paying law firm, and she, of course, volunteers with Laurel at the lawyer's office, you know, the defenders or whatever. And then Laurel gets a call from Tommy. And, of course, Tommy, I feel like the writers are pushing Tommy and Laurel way too much, where it doesn't even look organic just natural. I think that what the writers are doing with Tommy and Laurel is like, oh, we have to build this, like, big love interest, and then, of course, they're not going to stay together, because if it's true, Laurel is the Black Canary, we already know where that's going. So I have a question, a little side note of that, since I brought up Canary. Do you think later on her hair's going to magically light up to a blonde? and then she'll cut it short. I don't know. That's just me. It did happen in Smallville, and I know some people that are listening to the podcast are like, why does he always bring up Smallville? Well, I'm sorry. I'm a big fan of both shows now, okay? So I have to say it. But remember Lois Lane when she came into Smallville? Her hair was almost really, like, I'm not going to say blonde, but it was really light strawberry blonde almost. And then, of course, as the series continued, it became really much darker, more dark brown, and the, you know, traditionally what Lois Lane should look like. But if you remember her first introduction, it was really light, and I'm like, that can't be Lois Lane. Yeah. So of course she dyed it. So I'm just wondering. We gotta keep an eye out on Laurel's hair color because it might turn blonde sooner or later. Although I think she was, I mean, who really is a natural blonde these days? But I think before she did Arrow, all of her other roles were blondes. Because I do remember her from Melrose Place, and I know that was a couple years back. But if you guys remember her from Melrose Place, she was the publicity person. Yeah.
She's actually
a
blonde.
She used to be a blonde, and ever since she took the role of Laurel for Arrow, it became brunette. So that's a pretty interesting choice there.
Or
I mean, they should have kept it blonde, because hello, canary, blonde? Okay, oh, that's just me.
Or maybe it's a wig, and eventually she's going to end
up... Oh, that would be kind of cool. Dun, dun, dun.
Like in a power plant. I want it to be Jesus in the season finale.
Kind of like the Joker transforming.
Yeah, like something in a lab explosion or something. I mean, I don't know how she's going to get her canary scream. Like last night at that scene where she got kidnapped, I say, come on, use your canary scream.
Yeah, and that's another thing. How is she going to get her powers? Regina, what do you think? How do you think she's going to get her powers?
I have no clue.
Regina?
You have no clue.
Okay. All right, so let's continue. So, of course, Laurel Laurel gets a call from Tommy, who is about to audition new chefs for the club. And seriously, as much time as they're spending on this club, it better be a really good club. Because it always sounds like they're working on it. And, it might just be me, but wouldn't putting a club above your let's call it the Arrow Cave, because it's not the Batcave, but the Arrow Cave. Why would you put a club directly on top of it? That just doesn't make sense. But I could be wrong. The locations could be totally separate locations. But Regina, what do you think? From what they showed us, it looks like the club is right either underneath or next door to the Arrow Cave.
Yeah, I think it's above, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is above. And Matt, your thoughts on the Arrow Cave being really close to the club?
Well, I don't think it's a good idea, because if Malcolm ever walks in as the Dark Archer or just himself, he can easily track Oliver down.
Easily. It's like, he goes to Oliver's club, huh? Arrow's going there. Yeah. Yeah,
so
I don't know.
One of my other favorite scenes was when Diggle was actually driving Moira to places and heard the conversation, and then some guard of, was that Malcolm she was talking to?
Yep. And he was spying through the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that part. And then some old douche comes in and says,
the security guard.
What are you doing? It goes like, what the heck you doing, guy? And he goes like, empty your pockets. I got to see something. He goes like, I'm a new guy at work here, because I almost thought he was going to get kidnapped by, like, Walter did. And
where
the heck is Walter? I mean, is he going to come
back?
I
don't know. They still haven't showed him, or they haven't mentioned where he's at. But going back to the episode, Dig still thinks Myra knows more than Queen is giving her credit for knowing. And then Errol's phone rings, and of course it's Laurel telling him that Vance, the bad guy, Cyrus Vance, is being released from prison, and he wants him to look into him, like how we could get him back into prison. And Lance is told that his daughter has made contact with the Arrow. If you guys remember the previous episode, Detective Lance put a homing device or a bug on the cell phone that Laurel calls the Arrow. And, of course, one of the deputies or one of the police officers that works with Detective Lance told him that his daughter has already made contact. And, of course, the detective hears of this, and he's like, we got to get everybody up there. And Vance plans to convince members of the Triads and the Bertinelli's crew to work with him. So it looks like they're building this huge army of, like, just mobsters. And he plans to do something spectacular to get their attention. And, of course, Errol pays a visit to Vance, takes out a few guards, and ends up shooting an arrow near the wall where he's picking up the audio conversation between Vance and Vivian, I guess is her name, the blonde that Matt likes.
Yeah.
And then Matt did bring up where Diggle is kind of driving Miss Daisy around. And Miss Daisy, of course, is Myra Queen. And he's only doing it for protection, even though Myra has no idea why he decided to fill in for her driver that's never taken a day off. And, of course, he's just trying to get more intel to give to Oliver because Oliver is in such a denial. Why, out of all people, he's denying his own mother? Isn't everyone a suspect at this point?
Yeah, pretty much. All except Thea.
You accept what?
Everyone's a suspect. All except Thea. The only thing she did bad was do that drug and get arrested.
Yeah, she's the only one having a good time right now.
Yes, Oliver needs to tell her his secret, and she needs to become Speedy already.
Yeah, and they could finish this whole season in one season.
Yeah, they better not.
Yeah.
There
won't be season
while,
twos
like.
Or threes. We got Black Canary. The Dark Archer knows where the Arrow Cave is. It's like everything's all come in place in with the first year.
Well, they need to keep going. I mean, they need to. This show is such a replacement for Smallville. It's the start of
It's really good, and it's doing really good in ratings. So, obviously, a lot of people are catching on to the Arrow fever. Fever, get it? Beaver.
But we need Aquaman,
okay.
They need to continue Aquaman.
Yeah, and you know, there's news about Amazon, which is the Wonder Woman version of this retelling of superheroes on the CW. There is rumors that Wonder Woman will be picked up as a pilot in off-cycle. They call it off-cycle because between January and April, they shoot the fall pilots. So they'll shoot one episode of the series, and if the network loves it, they'll do a whole pickup order, which will be like 12 to 22 episodes. Now, if the network sees the pilot, and of course we've seen that happen with Aquaman, if you guys remember with Justin Hartley, they did make a pilot, and the CW passed on it. Now, I don't know why Warner Brothers didn't shop it around to other networks. They just stopped there at CW. That's so weird because I saw the pilot, and I loved the Aquaman pilot. Did you guys see that?
No.
Oh, I have it on the complete series box set.
Yeah. And so definitely check it out if you haven't. It's on iTunes. It's everywhere. It's on Amazon. Just look it up, Aquaman. And it's by the same people that did Smallville, so it has that same look, that same tone of heroism. And I'm really excited about Amazon. So what I did is I already picked up Amazon Talk on Twitter. So if you guys want to join us there for Wonder Woman news, I know it's going to be way too many talking. So check us out there. But let's get back to this episode. So Arrow and Lance meet. And, of course, Lance says he can no longer trust his fellow officers because Laurel has been kidnapped by Cyrus Vance, and they plan to work together. And I again agree with you, Matt, that it was a good sense of working together with Detective Lance and Arrow. It's kind of almost, and I hate to bring it up again, it's almost like Batman and Commissioner Gordon type of deal, where they're like working together.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot of comparisons to Batman, of course, as we move along. They're like, why is he always talking about Batman? I'm like, why are you always yelling at the podcast? All right, so let's see. So then, of course, they work together, and Arrow makes his way through Vance's extensive and heavily armed security guard. Once Arrow gets inside of Lance's, he ends up saving Laurel after he runs out of arrows. Remember how even Cyrus knew how many arrows Green Arrow had? Isn't that kind of I think it's kind of, I don't know, I was really disappointed because I'm like, okay, this villain, he could count how many arrows Green Arrow has. Why
you remember?
Would it, he remember it.
How
do you remember?
Know
I think
many.
I do. Are you ready? I'm going to give my number out first, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong. 24.
Yep.
Yep.
Which
okay,
I thought was funny
because
he used to play a big villain on 24. For more than one episode, it was like almost for half a season.
Oh, no way. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
So I was like, yay, 24.
Well, there you go. So if every villain knows his weakness is 24, that's going to be kind of hard.
Yeah.
They're like, we'll just wait for him to shoot 24 arrows, and then we'll get him after he's done. All right, so the back to the episode. Laura refuses to let her father drive her home after Arrow saves her, and now she's really can't trust her family or anyone. And Arrow meets Laurel later on her way home and asks if she was okay. He tells her goodbye, says he's not willing to put her at risk any longer. And that makes sense. We've seen a lot of superheroes go through that. We've seen Spider-Man go through that in the movies. We've seen Clark Kent go through that in Smallville. So it makes sense. Definitely don't bring in the people you love in your world if you're going to be this alter ego vigilante. And then we go again to the flashback where Wilson, who, as we know by now, is saying he's a partner with Deathstroke, and he's like, oh, yeah, that's not my mask. That's our outfit. Now, do you buy his excuse, Regina? Do you think it's really Deathstroke?
No, I did not buy his excuse. I'm like, uh-huh.
Yeah, it was a little weak, right?
Yeah.
And what about you, Matt? What do you think? Do you think that was Deathstroke, or do you buy his story that he was with a partner?
No, I didn't buy it. He had to be him, because he said the other guy was, like, some other dude on the island who was torturing Oliver.
Right, right.
Because I know Slade Wilson is Deathstroke.
We'll find out hopefully next week or in a couple weeks if it really was Deathstroke. But I want to thank you guys for listening to our podcast. Again, we're on every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And also our Smallville podcast, which starts in any minute at 8:30 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com. Thank you guys so much for calling in. Hopefully we can meet you guys at the other podcast. But Regina, give us a shout out as we end the show.
Thank you for hosting the show.
Yay! You're welcome.
Yay.
let's see, Matt, give us a huge finale shout out.
Great episode last night. Big Bang Theory was freaking bazinga hilarious. And can't wait to see how this show goes. Bazinga, I'll be on the Smallville Doc in a few minutes. Bye.
Awesome, and we'll
Bye.
Be talking about Superman on that channel, but I'll see you guys later. And remember, you guys have failed me.
Okay, 5 years, I was stranded on an island with only one goal. Survive.
Oliver Queen is alive.
Now I will fulfill my father's dying wish to use the list of names he left me and bring down those who are poisoning my city. To do this, I must become someone else. I must become something.